Genesis chapter 13, we're going to look here at a thought that I was thinking about here earlier today, and I think it's something that we can all relate to. You know, as we start a new whatever you want to call it, school year, you want to call it a new youth group year, we mirror the school system just because it makes it easy and we're able to keep our structure that way a little bit better. But I think there are some here tonight that are extra excited to be back in the swing of things. Okay, now, I know there's some on the other end, but there are some of you who are just excited to be around people again. You're excited, even though it's school, you still get some socializing in there. You still even, you know, get to, hopefully you have a sense inside of you of, hey, I want to learn, I want to go forward, and if I don't go forward, I'll never get out of high school. And so hopefully, even if it's just to get on with it, hopefully you are excited about some things as we start the new year. I'm excited about a new routine. Some of the things that we've just been so long without, boy, I'm just excited that we can get back into it. But maybe there's some here tonight, you say, Brother Scott, I struggle to be motivated. I really do. In fact, from the first day I got back into school from summer break, it just hit me in the face like, oh, wow, we're going to have a lot of work to do. Oh, wow, we just took a big step into the next grade, and man, everything just got a little bit harder. Now, there may be some here tonight that would fall into that category. And I think that maybe if you're in that category, you would find it easy to relate to an individual that we're going to look at in Scripture. And I would ask you this question by way of the title this evening, and that is this: is the grass always greener? Is the grass always greener? You say, now, Brother Scott, what are we talking about? Now, how many of you have ever heard the expression before, the grass is always greener, fill in the blank? On the other side. We're well familiar, right? How many of us have, now you wouldn't see this around here, really. You won't see this in a townhome complex. It's just not going to happen. But if you're driving in some of the more rural areas, which how many of you like to just drive out in the country? You love just to look at the country and the wide open spaces. I do. I joke with my family all the time, I'm going to own a farm someday. I don't know how to run a farm. I'd have to hire somebody to run the thing for me. But I would just, I'd watch the animals and I'd just be like, farm life. All right. I love to get out and I love to see the pastures, and it's so neat when you're driving and you see animal activity. You know, I mean, it's great to see wide open spaces, but when you see animals, you know, inhabiting a farm or a pasture or something, it just reaches another level, and I enjoy it. But inevitably, you do enough driving in the rural areas, you're going to see this concept come alive. Now, you'll see a cow leaning through a fence at some point. What is he doing? Leaning down. He's reaching for grass, right? And he wants that grass, not the grass that's on his side, and not interested. Okay, but he is reaching for every part of his being to get that grass, which is just a little bit accessible to him, on the other side of the fence. And as the expression goes, we often think is maybe even in a cow's brain, that the grass other places is just going to be a little bit better than what we have. And we're going to ask and try to answer the question tonight. Look at this topic of, is really the grass always greener? You're in Genesis tonight, Genesis chapter 13, and I want to read some of these verses here. But before we do that, I want you to look at the first point tonight, and that is this. It always does look greener when conflict arrives. Okay, when does grass look greener to you and I? In other words, when we are looking to be and occupy another place, maybe we don't like the place that we're at. Maybe we're discontent with the people that are around us. Maybe we're discontent with who we are. And maybe you thought to yourself, man, why couldn't the Lord have created me different in some way? Or why couldn't I have been taller? Or why couldn't I fill in the blank? And what are we doing in essence? We're reaching, even if in our mind's eye, to greener pastures because we have the thought that somehow, some way, occupying that space is going to be different from where we are. And so as we look at this first point tonight, I want us to dive into the scriptures, and we're gonna look at this and find that it always does look greener when conflict arrives. So what's the conflict? What conflict do we have? Notice Genesis chapter 13. And I want you to take a look now at what's happening here in, verse number 6. Notice what the Bible says. And the land was not able to bear them. Who is them? You go back in the first five verses, you find that there are two people here who have a little bit of an issue. And this is the conflict. You have Abraham, or Abram, as the Bible calls him here, who has an abundance of just stuff. You have an abundance of stuff, okay? But he had like a super abundance of stuff. He had like cattle, he had clothing, he had servants, he had a mass portion of just all things under the sun. But there was somebody else who also had the same. And that person's name, of course, is Lot. And so here Abram and Lot have a little bit of a conflict. What's their conflict? Notice in verse 6, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And what did that lead to? Verse 7, and there was strife. There was bickering that took place between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. Drop down with me. I want you to see verses 11 and 12 here as things escalate. So how do they solve this problem? Right? There is a conflict. How many of you say, Brother Scott, I would love to have that problem? Okay? I mean, you know, I just have too much stuff. Right? Maybe some of you siblings can identify with this. Brother Scott, I share a room. They have too much stuff. I mean, and that creates conflict. Man, do I wish I could move out, right? That's kind of what the situation was here. They had an issue. God had blessed them both equally, and yet there's a conflict. You know what I find oftentimes in my life is discontentment shows its ugly head when I am in the middle of a conflict. That was what Lot and Abram were in. So what was the solution? Well, notice what happens next. Look at verse 11 and 12. The Bible says that Abram came to Lot and gave him a choice, said, Lot, listen, I'm going to give you your choice of all of this land around here. Okay, I'm going to give you the choice of from the closest to the furthest away, and maybe the driest all the way to the most fertile and the most plenteous. And what does Lot do? And we see he makes this choice. It says in verse 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Okay, this was the solution that was brought forth. And it wasn't a bad solution. But Lot did have a choice to make in regards to this conflict. And mark it down, every single one of us in this room, when we are faced with conflict, we always have a choice. We always have a choice of how we are going to respond to that conflict. And there's a variety of ways that we can do that. Notice some details about the decision that Lot made here. You'll notice, first of all, that Lot chose the furthest reaches. If you look back here to verse 11, it says it chose him all the east, the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. They separated themselves the one from the other. Look down at verse 12, and Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, pitched he his tent towards Sodom. I want you to notice, first of all, in this decision that Lot made in the middle of this conflict, Lot did not choose to stay close by to Abraham. No, he chose to get himself as far away as he possibly could, which just happened to be close to these cities that are notorious in Scripture for what comes later. Lot makes this decision. You know what? You and I make this decision sometimes too. Conflict arises, and what do we want to do? We want to deal with it by escaping. Yeah, that's what Lot's doing here. Conflict arises. Again, nothing wrong with the conflict. It was a legitimate thing. But he's got a choice, and what does he say? He says, listen, I know Abraham. He's been good to me. He's family, but I'm getting as far away as I can in regards to the land that he's offered to me. Well, you know, we have to be at the place where we step back in a conflict situation and say, okay, there's a right way to deal with this conflict. Well, it can be a conflict between siblings. Well, it can be a conflict between a mom and a son, or a father and a daughter. It could be a conflict that you will face at some point at your job, where somebody who wants to do and live completely different than you, all of a sudden there's this conflict that arises, and we always have a choice. How are we going to deal with that conflict? Well, Lot looks at the conflict. He says, listen, You know, I quite frankly, I don't want to be around this area with Abram anymore. I want to get as far away as I possibly can within the bounds of what he has offered me. And so he does. What does Lot do? He runs. He escapes. He says, I'm going to try to get myself as far away from the problem as I possibly can. Well, what else does he do? Not only does he go to the farthest reaches, but Lot chose a godless place. Look at verse 13, where we sort of peel back the layer of this city. You say, was it a great place? Were there tall buildings? Were there fun places to be? Was this a place where all the fellowship was taking place? Well, what about this place, does God say? Well, look at verse 13. It gives us the underbelly of this place that Lot positioned himself towards. Verse 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Boy, isn't it interesting that the Lord includes that note right there before he goes into another passage? Well, isn't that interesting? The Lord wants us to know that Lot made a bad decision when he faced this conflict. What does he do? He tries to run from it. He said, I'm just going to take myself out of this conflict, and that's my choice. What else does he say? So I'm going to, look, those people over there, they look like they're having a good time. Those people over there, I'm just going to get myself as far as I can from these people, and I'm going to go and spend time with them. And listen, let me tell you, sometimes the grass in a conflict will seem much, much greener than the grass that you occupy. But you have to ask yourself the question, am I making the right choice? Does God have a way that he wants me to deal with this conflict? Does God have a desire in this situation for me? Does he want me to run? Does he want me to separate myself unto a people that are wicked and godless? Well, it wasn't a good decision. But you know what happened? Lot's eye, he's looking for greener pastures. He's got an issue and he's looking, hey, how can I just fix all of this and be way over there and with those people who seem like they're having a great time? And Lot makes this decision based on the conflict that arose. And you and I can do the very same thing. Hey, what's the conflict of a cow in a pasture? I don't know. You know, why is it that the cow is leaning through the fence and sacrificing itself in some way and around the collar and the neck just to reach down and get some of that grass that is outside his portion? Why is he doing that? Well, I don't really know. I mean, maybe one day I'll know. I'll have cows and maybe I'll talk to them. I don't know. But maybe the cows, you know, hey, you know what? These other cows I'm with, they stink. Is that why a cow reaches to the other side of the fence? I don't know. These cows, they don't moo right. Now I want to be over there. I mean, look at that pasture. Nobody's in it. Can I get away from them? And yet there's a conflict that sometimes arises in our hearts. And I wonder if we're like the cow who's looking at the perceived greener pastures in our mind and we are stretching as far as we can towards something that is an inferior choice. Conflict will do it. That's why we got to handle it God's way. Lord, I'm going to cast my care upon you, and I'm going to seek your guidance from your word. I want you to notice the second thing here, and this is what we see in verses 1, 4, and 5. We're going to read those verses together. But not only do we see that it always does, the grass always appears greener when we're in the middle of conflict. We start thinking, hey, maybe it would be different if I were part of another family. Hey, maybe my life would be easier if I was at another school. Maybe I would excel some other places. And we begin to look at greener pastures. Notice the second thing here. It always does when the conflict arises. Number two, the grass is always greener when we lose sight of what we have. When we lose sight of what we have. Notice what Lot had. I want you to notice this. Look at verse 1. Verse 1 of chapter 13. It says here, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. Notice verse 4. Under the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And then notice verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. I want you to think about this for a second. What did Lot have exactly? Because Lot in this moment, in this matter of conflict that he's occupying, he loses sight of some amazing things when he begins to make this decision and stretch towards greener pastures. Notice, first of all, what he had. He had family. It says in verse 1, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. You do a little bit of reading before this, and you find that that Abraham is Lot's uncle. Okay, so Lot's father, okay, Haran was his name, and the Bible tells us that Haran, Lot's father, died. Okay, so this is a difficult situation for Lot. Now, we're not told when that happened. The Bible makes a point to let us know that the relationship that his uncle Abram has with Lot is that Abram is raising Lot. Okay, they have a special relationship. But you add that to the conflict in Lot's heart, and you see a difficult upbringing, no doubt. And here he is, and we understand that he had family. Notice number one, what did Lot have? He had family. Well, that's a special thing. Your family is a really important thing. When I was your age, I don't know that I appreciated it as much as, well, I know as much as I do now. Well, that was something that the Lord had to show me the older that I got. You hear, just a month or two ago, we took a missions trip to New Mexico, and we were there on the Navajo Indian Reservation, and an unbelievable amount of broken and incomplete homes on that reservation. I shared with some of you already, and those that are in this room who went know about a girl named Lucy, 14 years old, special girl, comes to church by her choice. Her father left early on. Her mother, just 6 months before, had then decided to leave. Lucy has 3 or 4 siblings, and she's the oldest. You know, I watched through the week where she made a point to have her younger siblings at VBS every night. You know, I watched as a 14-year-old drove a vehicle because that was the only way she was going to get her and her family to church. And I guarantee you, if you asked Lucy, hey, are you thankful for your family, your siblings, your grandparents? She would say, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what God has given me. Listen, there's not a person in this room tonight that can identify with Lucy's situation. But that doesn't mean that we can't understand that there are hurts that take place in our heart. And yet, Lot had family. Well, he was looking to the other side of the fence, and he said, man, I'm willing to separate from Abram, all that he's done for me, his wife. I'm willing to separate from his servants and the life that I lived in. You know what? I just want to be away from this place. Listen, don't take for granted family. Boy, they're so special. Don't take for granted your mom or your dad. Don't take for granted your uncles or your aunts, your cousins. Don't take them for granted, because family is so special. He had family. What else did he have? Well, he had more than enough, didn't he? He had more than enough. Notice what it says. It says, Lot also in verse 5, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Can you imagine occupying this type of position? He's got too much stuff. Now, I think that we can identify with that, because here in America, we too have too much stuff. But we lose sight of it. We do so easily. You know, when we moved from the staff house into our townhome in Ashburn, and we had a little patch of grass that was about the size of this platform in the back, I was overjoyed. Okay, let me tell you, hey, what can we do back there? I mean, let's clean it up. Let's plant some stuff. Let's put some stuff back there on the area that area. Let's do something special right there, man. We've got something that we did not have before. And you know what? I find that as time went on, I began taking that little patch of ground for granted. I did. I got used to it. Before, I started thinking stuff like, you know, there's a lot of things that we can't do on that little patch of land. There's just so many things. A couple years ago, we moved into a single-family home in Leesburg, and we have a backyard. I can literally throw a football the distance of our backyard, and it's a blessing. The boys love to go back there. We throw the football. We kick soccer balls. Now, our neighbors are, they're not like way over that way and way over that way. We do jump the fence to get balls half the time we're back there. But at the same time, I'll tell you, in comparison to that patch of land at my townhome, well, that's a great reminder. You know, sometimes I drive by our old townhome just so I can remember where we came from. Why, you say, Rose Scott, why do you do that? Because I forget. Boy, it's human nature. You know, in this moment, Lot forgot. Boy, what is he fixated on? He's fixated on the other side of the fence. And to him, oh, that looks far better than this little patch of land that he's occupying right now. And so we see that he had family. He had more than what he needed. And then fourth and finally here, he had God. Notice verse 4, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called out the name of the Lord. You say, what was the most valuable thing that Lot possessed in this moment? Well, his relationship with the Lord. We know he was a saved man. Hebrews tells us that. That the sin that he would find himself in years later, the Bible says, vexed his righteous soul. He was a saved man. He had the Lord. And I'll tell you, the people who all across this world have nothing, but they have the Lord, many of them understand that. Well, they maybe, you know, I don't have houses, I don't have lands, but I'll tell you what I do have. I do have God. Do you feel that way about what you have? I'm looking full of a room of teenagers that have a father or a mother or both. You have more than what you need. I'm looking at people who hopefully have a relationship with God. And boy, do we take those things for granted when we start looking to the other side of the fence. And yet that's human nature. You know who can do that? You pastors can do that. You know who can do that? Parents can do that. And certainly teenagers can do that as well. Look at the final thought this evening that we see here. And answering this question, is the grass always greener? We see that it always looks greener when conflict arrives. What are we going to do? Are we going to deal with the conflict correctly? Notice number 2, the grass is always greener when we lose sight of what we have. Lot most certainly did. He gave up a lot in order to make this decision. Paul said, not that I speak as respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state there I am to be content. I want you to think about that cow for a second. I wish I could crawl into the mind of the cow. I probably my intellect would be on his level. Okay, but I don't know what that cow's thinking. But you know the irony of that cow's situation? And maybe you've already thought of this. Is his side without grass? Is there grass on his side of the fence? If you've seen it, you understand that there's grass on his side of the fence. But it's on his side of the fence. Well, he's lost sight for one reason or another. Look at the final thing here. And we see this as we close tonight. We see this in verses 14 through 17. Notice number 3, the grass is always greener on God's side of the fence. I want you to think about this. Don't miss this. The grass is always greener on God's side of the fence. Let me show you what I'm talking about here. I want you to look here at verse 14 through 17 of chapter 13. Notice immediately after Lot separates, puts himself in the position of accessing a wicked and a godless people, to which he would one day move right in the middle of them. Notice what happens. It's so ironic that this is the way. It's not ironic, it's just biblical. Notice what it says here in verse 14. What happens next? Lot's gone. What does it say happens? The Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and of thy seed forever. Verse 16, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Verse 17, arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And the truth of this is the fact that the grass is always greener on God's side of the fence. You know, as Abram gazed on God's side of the fence, God's perfect will, if you want to say it that way, the Lord blessed him by expanding his future. You see, God's always got a plan when you're on his side of the fence. He always does. He has a future for you and for me that sometimes does not follow the path that we would have chosen for ourselves, but leads us to a far greater place than we could have ever imagined. And that's what happened to Abram. Lot's gone. Abram's there. The Lord speaks to him. He says, Abram, listen, I want to bless you. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being right where I want you to be. And the Lord expands the future for Abram in a way that only he can. Should we compare just for a second the future, the outcome of both Lot and Abram? Did they have different ends? What did Lot find on the other side of the fence? You guys help me tonight, okay, without looking at the scripture and going further in it. What did Lot find on the other side of the fence? Somebody help me out. Yes, Andrew? Yeah. Boy, the things that he took for granted, he ended up losing. His wife died. His daughters committed great immorality. His home, his family, was a fraction of what it was before. He left for greener pastures, right? You think about all the stuff that he had. You know, you realize just a chapter later, Lot gets captured with his whole family and all the stuff. And who goes and rescues him? Anybody remember? Who was it?
Abraham.
Abraham's in that place on God's side of the fence. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, you need to ask yourself the question, whose side of the fence are you on? Do you remember the prodigal son? He was on the outside looking in. Do you remember? He left for greener pastures. He looks back. He's in the pig pen, and he remembers the other side of the fence. Now, the beauty of that situation, of course, is that he goes back. He gets right with his family. And he learns and remembers what it's like to stay on the right side of the fence. Listen, the greenest pasture that you will ever occupy in life is always on God's side of the fence. You want an encouragement tonight when you go home? Read Psalm 23. You talk about the greenest pastures that we can occupy. Follow the Lord. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. I wonder if this evening that you're not like that cow, that animal, that cattle that is outstretching its neck, hoping, yearning for a place that you really down deep don't want to be. I wonder what kind of conflict you're facing tonight. Are you dealing with that the right way? I mean, there is a right way. And you know what? You've got people in your life who will help you with that. I will help you with that. Seek somebody out because there is a right way. Don't run from it. Don't position yourself close to a group of people who know nothing of the Lord, thinking that they perhaps have something better than what you have. Don't do that. I wonder if maybe there's some people in the room tonight who have just simply forgotten what you have. I challenge you tonight, pick your head up, face the opposite direction, and look at your home. Is there something you can be thankful for? Look to your possessions. You have more than what we need. Look to your God. Boy, he's a help in times of trouble. I want each of us, including myself tonight, to be assured of this truth. If you don't get anything, get this. The greenest pastures are always God's field, occupying the place of his side of the fence. I hope you'll make that decision tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we have a brief invitation time, I pray, God, that you would work in our hearts. Lord, may we set aside, Lord, our pride. Father, may we deal with exactly what you want us to deal with. And Lord, thank you for being so kind as to give us this story that warns us. Lord, thank you for having a plan for us. Thank you, God, for being our good shepherd, that, Lord, gives us what we need. I pray that, Lord, we would choose you tonight. and you would get the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if God's spoken to your heart and you'd like to come forward tonight, I encourage you to do that as the piano plays this evening. We're just going to take a moment and you do business with the Lord. If you're stretching to the other side of the fence in one way or another, let's just admit that. There's not a single person in this room tonight who has a corner on perfection. There are times I get discontent. There are times I need to deal with the wants of my own heart. There are times that I need to be reminded, has God's Word reminded you of that? Are you on God's side of the fence? If you're not and you know it, get back over there. Talk to the Lord, confess it, get right with the people that you need to, and enjoy the pastures the Lord has given you. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'd solidify this truth on our hearts, Lord, when we lay down for sleep tonight. Lord, help us not to forget it. Help it to be constructive in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.